Thank you. Dearly beloved friends of Jesus, we gather together in the sight of God, filled with sorrow and grief. Our friend Jesus has suffered and he has died, and his earthly body has been laid to rest. This is a tender time, and we come to grieve and to comfort one another in our sorrow, and to draw on God's love and power. We have come to remember all that Jesus said to us, and to take comfort in the shelter of the Almighty God. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Almighty and ever-loving God, thank you for this time we have together to gather and reflect on Jesus' life. You knew Jesus through and through. You loved him from the moment he was conceived. You were with him on the day of his birth and on the day of his death. You gave him a good life, a wonderful family. He loved them deeply, and they loved him deeply in return. You walked with him in good times and hard times. You were with him even on this dark Friday. Be with us today, in our tears, in our aching hearts, and the smiles that bring memories, and as we grieve and remember Jesus. Be with us now. Amen. I invite you to open up your hymnals, the purple hymnals, or look up on the screen, Voices Together number 147, Kyrie Eleison.
And we will sing this through about 5 times.
Kyrie eleison.
At this time, I'd like to invite Paul Fretz, a friend of Jesus, to come and read our scripture from the Psalms.
From the Word of God, Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I am worn out, calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. I am forced to restore what I did not steal. You know my folly, O God. My guilt is not hidden from you. May those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me, O Lord, the Lord Almighty. May those who seek you not be put to shame because of me, O God of Israel, for I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my eyes. I am a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my own mother's sons. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But I pray to you, O Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the floodwaters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love. In your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Redeem me because of my foes. You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforts, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst.
Join me in singing number 329 in the Purple Hymnal, Were You There?, verses 1-5. And please stand to sing.
Crucified my Lord.
I'd like to invite Dorothy Isaac, friend of Jesus, up to read from the prophet Isaiah.
I am reading from Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 9. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity. And as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence. And there was no deceit in his mouth.
Please stand to sing number 653, Nothing is Lost, on the Breath of God.
Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph of Nazareth while they were sojourning in Bethlehem during Herod's great taxation. His parents lived in Egypt for a number of years when he was a small boy, moving the family back to Nazareth so Jesus could grow up among his extended family. A highlight of his childhood was a family trip to Jerusalem for Passover when he was around 12 years old. Jesus decided that he wasn't ready to go home, but he forgot to inform his parents, who only discovered he wasn't with the return caravan when they were many miles from the city. His parents never let him forget that. Maybe in response to that experience, he lived a very quiet life, never straying far from home until he was in his 30s. While Jesus never married, he was very involved in the life of his extended family, their children, and the family carpentry business. Jesus was a big support for his mother Mary in her grief after his father's passing. When Jesus was in his early 30s, a visit with his cousin John changed the course of his life. After this visit, he left Nazareth to lead an unsettled life, never having a home of his own again. He became a big traveler, passing through Galilee and Judea, and even into Samaria and the land beyond the Jordan. His family hoped that he would get over his traveling bug and settle down and raise a family, but that was not to be. Jesus was a person with a special light, a light from God, like the prophets of old. He traveled because he had a message from God. He had to tell the people about what he called the kingdom of God. He was a powerful speaker, enthralling the young and the old, the rich and the poor alike with his insight and wisdom. He spoke to us of the great compassion of God and that we too should love one another. In the course of Jesus' travels, he came to have 12 special friends, who he called his disciples, as well as numerous followers, male and female, who generously provided for his needs out of their resources. Jesus was the type of person who was always having interesting encounters with people. If you tried to write down everything he did, the world could not contain the stories. He could make friends with anyone: tax collectors, people possessed by demons, the educated, the rich, people who were blind or lame, lepers, Pharisees, Samaritans, all of them. Jesus was interested in everyone. He was the kindest man, the most loving man, a person who had special powers given him by God. Those of you here who have seen the power of his miracles know what I'm talking about. In the final years of his life, Jesus became famous, with thousands flocking to hear him speak. Some believed him to be the Messiah, the chosen one of Israel. While he was deeply loved, he also had some bitter enemies, people who were threatened by his sometimes biting honesty. He became so famous, he attracted the attention of religious and political leaders who plotted to kill him. One of his own disciples, who we will not name today, God have mercy on his soul, betrayed him. Jesus was arrested and tried before Pontius Pilate. Up to the end, there were some among us who hoped, oh, we hoped, for a display of God's power, that Jesus would begin to speak and amaze all who heard him as he amazed all of us for so long. But he didn't open his mouth in those final days. Those who saw him in his final hours describe someone who was resolute in his faith, still talking to God even as he was executed by crucifixion as a common criminal. He died just outside the city of Jerusalem, the city that he loved, on the Friday before Passover. Left to grieve his passing are his mother Mary, his brother James and various in-laws, his Aunt Mary, wife Clopas, many cousins, nieces, and nephews, his special 11 special followers, and innumerable friends. Sorry, that was Aunt Mary, wife of Clopas. He was predeceased by his father Joseph and his cousin John, the baptizer. While Jesus had no children of his own and never made very much money or bought any land of his own, he left a mark that will never, never be forgotten. He will be remembered forever in the hearts of those who love him.
Shall We Gather at the River, number 667. Please stand to sing. This time, I'd like to invite Jesus's friend and disciple, Peter, for a tribute. Oh, actually, first we will have the scripture from Linda Wirth, Jesus's friend from the Gospel of John.
Let's remember these words from Jesus. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
Hello, my friends. Thank you for being here today. I didn't want to do this tribute, but I didn't want to do this tribute today, but my disciples, my friends, the disciples, they told me I had to. They wanted me to do it, so here I am. I want you to know that I speak for them as well. We all got to know Jesus about the same time, about 3 years ago, during his traveling years. What do you say about a stranger who tells you to leave your home, leave your family, leave your business? What do you say to a stranger who says all that to you and then asks you to do it? Well, he was that kind of person. He was the kind of person you wanted to listen to. The kind of person who spoke to you deep, deep down inside. It was like he had the words of life. And you wanted to listen. And yeah, it was like my buddy John says, he was the Word. The Word of life. And you wanted to listen to him. You wanted to listen to him forever. And we listened. And I can't tell you I understood everything. And God knows I tried. And Jesus, he was so patient, you know. He listened to our questions, and after he spent all that time teaching to the crowd, we'd get him aside and he'd ask, what did that mean? And what's that symbol? And what was the reference for that? And he'd explain it to us all over again. He had that kind of patience. Now I'm a fisherman, and I know how to work. I work hard, and I have lots of energy. But Jesus, he had so much more. I didn't have half the energy he had. We would walk all day, and he'd go out, and he'd spend 3 or 4 hours at night preaching to the crowd, and we'd all fall, sit on the ground and listen. And then after that, we'd all drag off and fall into whatever pretended to be a bed that night, fall asleep immediately. And when I got up in the morning, Jesus was always, always gone. He was up in some mountain talking to God. That's where he got his energy. Energy was from God. And there was power in Jesus, a power that I've never, ever seen in any other man, alive or dead. And he spoke with that power, and he could change lives. He spoke to those with sickness. And he spoke to those with illness, and I saw him cure the blind and the lame. He spoke to demons, and the demons listened. And I know you won't believe this, but I saw him speak to storms and the wind, and it would stop. And I once saw him raise a man from the dead. I know, I saw it with my own eyes. It's too incredible. I know you can't believe it, but it really happened. This was the kind of man he was, but in spite of all that, he was just one of us. He was with us. And we walk all day and we laugh and we tell stories. And yes, we fought and we argued and we bickered among ourselves, but he was always there. And he would calm us and he'd smooth things over and he would encourage us. And he kept giving us this power. And we came to see, all of us, we came to see that he was more than a man. He was more than a prophet. He was like the Messiah, the called of Israel. And last Sabbath, when we went into Jerusalem, we saw all those people singing and all the palms raising. We thought, this is it. He's going to get his place. You're going to see him for what he is. But, well, I still don't know what happened. The horror, the grief of it all. It's unthinkable, but it happened. And yeah, there are things that I wish I'd said or things I wish I didn't say and things that were undone. Yeah, but what's done is done. And we know that Jesus is buried behind that stone, that big, thick stone. And no one can hurt him now, which is about the only comfort we have. The only rest I have in this really dark time. And I can say today that Jesus was my Savior. He saved me. He created in me a man that just wasn't there. My friends and I, we're all going back to Capernaum soon, going back to our home. But we're not going back the men we were. We're going back new creations. Excuse me. We're not the people we were 3 years ago. Jesus has changed us. And I know that there's one thing that Jesus would want. He would want us to love one another. He would want us to take care of each other in our grief, right? And Mary, I know how much you gave. I know how hard it was for you to leave, to give him up, to let Jesus do his traveling life. And I know that Jesus would rather have been with you, but he was doing what he was called to do, and we all know that. We knew it from the very beginning that he had a very special calling, but I'm really happy to see that John is with you right now. I just ask that for all of us as we go here, that we will go on our own way, that we will look out for each other, that we will love one another, that we'll love one another the way that Jesus loved us.
Number 569, Don't Be Afraid. We'll sing this through three times.
At this time, I'd like to invite Jesus' disciple and friend, Mary Magdalene, to give a tribute.
I remember the first time I met Jesus. I had been lost for some years, full of demons. I was not myself. I hardly recall that time at all. The first clear memory I have is of a man holding my hand and calling my name. I looked into his eyes and I felt such love and acceptance from him. He just radiated that kind of love. After that, I followed Jesus along with a number of other women. He had started his tour of Israel then. We followed Jesus as our teacher from place to place. Jesus was someone who loved people. He loved to meet people. He loved to hear their stories, and he loved to help them in whatever way he could. And people flocked to see him. They couldn't get enough of him. Sometimes we would travel ahead to a place he was going and let people know he was on his way. Crowds of people would greet him and he came into town, including the sick, hobbling along or being carried. Jesus would heal them and he would teach them. I remember once Jesus was out on a hillside teaching and he told us how we were blessed by God as the poor, as those who mourn, as those who are hungry, as those who long for peace. His heart went out to the crowd, to us, and we knew he spoke with the authority of God. When we were hungry, he could feed our hunger, and he fed us. Our spirits and our stomachs, he anticipated our needs. And he showed us that God cared about everyone, not just the rich, or the well-educated, or the powerful, but everyone. We had traveled across the sea to the place of the Gadarenes. And there was a man there who was out of his mind, the kind of man you would walk away to avoid. He was naked and screaming. Peter and the other men who were offshore rowing changed direction when they saw him screaming on the shore, but Jesus told them no. We would land our boat right next to him. It was Jesus who got out of the boat, went to the man, and spoke to him. We stayed where we were. In a few minutes, Jesus persuaded the man to be clothed and seated and listening to what Jesus had to say. Or another time, there was a woman who had been caught in adultery, and she was brought before Jesus by the authorities. She was a test case. What would he say about this person who had obviously broken the law? I can still picture it, the woman as a heap on the ground, all the men, righteous and angry, standing with stones in their hands, ready to punish, waiting for Jesus to say the word. Jesus was just crouched down beside the woman, and he stayed like that for a long time, just writing on the sand. When he spoke, he said, "Let he who is without sin throw the first stone." One by one, starting with the oldest, they dropped their rocks and turned away. Jesus was left sitting on the ground with the woman. I can still see her face as she looked up from the ground and saw that none of her accusers remained. She looked in Jesus' face, and I know what she saw there. He told her to go in peace and to sin no more. He taught us about the kingdom and about how we are part of it, how we are part of this kingdom coming. Just a few weeks ago, Jesus was invited to the home of one of the Pharisees, and a woman came in. And people knew her by her reputation and by the way she looked, that this was an unfortunate woman, a woman who had known so much grief in her life. She had taken all she owned and purchased an alabaster flask of perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. I can still smell the fragrance that filled the whole house. Some protested, thinking what a waste of money that was, but I still remember Jesus' words. He said that she was anointing him for his burial. At the time, we didn't know what he meant, but now I see that he knew this was coming. The whole time we were headed to Jerusalem, he knew where it would end. Yeah, I can't really find words today to say what Jesus meant to me. I have left everything to follow him. I believe he was chosen, the chosen one of God. We followed him right to the end. We saw the death that was laid on him by Pilate, a death that no one should have to endure, least of all a man as pure and guiltless as Jesus. It's a cruel world we live in. We are born into suffering, and Jesus himself tasted all of it. Now we too bear our suffering, our grief. I don't know how we will go on without him. I would give anything to see him again. I would fall at his feet and tell him what he meant to me. But now that chance is gone, and it seems like the world has grown dark. What I try to do now is put one foot in front of the other and go on to remember what Jesus taught us, to remember how he walked and lived and talked. That is the way I want to live. God, give us strength to not forget Jesus of Nazareth, and may the God of peace be with him.
Number 430 in the hymnal worship book, God Be With You. It'll be up on the screen. Please stand to sing and remain standing for the prayer and benediction.
Service for Jesus is coming to an end. Join me in a final prayer. God, thank you for being with us in this dissonant moment where we stand poised between life and death, filled to the brim with sorrow, filled with thoughts of what has been. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for our friend Jesus, who is a gift to the world, a gift in each of our lives. Comfort us, even as we are shaken by the horror of these last hours. Be our friend in this time of sorrow, and sustain us in the days to come. Amen. Now, Jesus, may God bless you and keep you. May the very face of God shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God's presence embrace you and give you eternal peace. Amen.